Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America and English.
Oh, what a strike, Club America!
Your hosts for today are Ivan Pineda, Cristian Rosendo, Alexis Juarez, and everyone's favorite cowboy, Dylan Jimenez.
Go!
Now let's hit the field and start the show.
America!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to be recapping all things Las Águilas del América. We're going to look back into what was the most CONCACAF game that América has had in quite some time. And then we're going to be recapping kind of the dull and nil result that was the América versus Cruz Azul game, the Clásico Joven, that 1-1 draw at the Estadio Azteca. And then we're going to look forward into the game on Sunday against Toluca as we near the end of the regular season for Liga MX. And to help me talk all things Las Águilas del América, as always, my co-host, it is none other than Brooklyn's very own. It is young Arnie himself. AJ, my man, how are you?
Doing good, thank you. Had some birria, Taco Tuesday, so it's great that I had this before going to the podcast. And yeah, aerobic training as always. Gain them gains, trying to look like Henry Martin out here.
Definitely. One small mass at a time. I like it, AJ. I like it. And joining us today is, again, someone you guys know very well. You guys recognize him already. And someone who maybe is already going to be replacing Christian on the podcast very soon, as he seems to be not coming on lately. It is none other than the one, the only, Brian Carnicero. Brian, how are you?
Doing good. Ready to talk some America.
Ready to talk some America, ready to talk some CONCACAF. Yeah, I mean, we live in quite the day and age when it comes to soccer, you know? I mean, it's just off the bat right here, Chris Rivera saying no to Ivan's Super League. And that just goes to show you the times we live in. I mean, obviously the world's been taken storm by the Super League, and Angel, I know we jumped on Sunday and we talked about what this could mean for a possible Liga MX MLS merger. It's been all topsy turvy, but I think it's gonna be nice to finally just kind of focus on America, focus on the club, focus on what went right on Saturday, focus on what went wrong on Wednesday, and look forward into what's coming up on Sunday as well, as we have a very important matchup against Toluca. But let's start off on Wednesday's matchup, gentlemen. Let's talk about this CONCACAF result that, I mean, it on paper looks embarrassing, but once you look at what happened actually on the pitch, even more embarrassing, not just for the club, but more so for the region that we live in. Because you think that in a professional, in a Champions League, quote-unquote Champions League game, to get the refereeing that we got and for the opponent to come at you the way that they did. I mean, really, how can you even sum this up, Brian? How would you sum up this game to someone who probably didn't even watch it and just kind of wants a recap of what we're talking about?
I would say what happened in the game is officiating that you'll probably see nowhere else in the world, because what happened there was a travesty. And I know if people hate America, they think it's hilarious, but you know, when you're trying to have a fair and balanced game, it was anything but that. And yeah, in this day and age, the region has to do better, because that doesn't make other teams better by, yeah, go ahead and brutalize, you know, the opponents how much you want. But, you know, America got away with what they needed, but it was not an enjoyable game. And the officiating was abysmal the whole game.
That's to say the least. That's literally to say the least. And we have already here Jacob saying, rompieron a Chucho Lopez, and Christopher is saying, we need AJ to rant about this because that's his boy. I'll definitely give AJ the chance to talk about that. But, I mean, overall thoughts on all of this, AJ? I mean, you know, with Brian, what he was saying, that, you know, it's a joke of an officiating. You know, the opposition came in with one objective only, right? And that was to disrupt our game in whatever way they deemed reasonable. And so, I mean, just kind of overall thoughts on, you know, kind of not just the opposition, but kind of how this game ends up unfolding for America.
Pain, suffering, agony, PSA. Mm-hmm. It was just really difficult just to watch this game, not just because of the result, but just as we mentioned, the officiating. You will see it in no other country, in no other tournament but CONCACAF, because it's ridiculous how they've allowed the referee from the first leg, because this man was talking so much to the Olympia players, trying to tell them, calm down. But when it's America, I'm taking the car immediately. And then the players are like, okay. And the second leg, absolutely disgusting. There was murder being created on that pitch. And the referee thought it's a great idea. I'll give him a yellow. It's a warning. What warning? I think like what? In like early 15 minutes on, Sebastian Coelho got stepped on the back, which I'm like, that's a red. But, you know, because we don't have VAR, I don't know how. Got away with it. The tackles. And for Chucho Lopez, don't get me started. I feel like that's maybe for later on the podcast, but it's just ridiculous to see how a team from Honduras just has to play like that. And we know how they play. Very aggressive. And just the way and how they played, too aggressive to the point. There definitely should have been consequences in this match towards the club and the players itself. And nothing was done to the point that America themselves had to write a letter essentially saying, we want them to be punished after what they did at Chucho. And I think they've still done nothing yet. So all in all, this match, disgusting.
Yeah, no, and I think it brings up this. It says, you know, Jerry Sanchez going with atrocious arbitraje. Why isn't VAR in this competition? And I think it leads us to all have that same question, right? Especially after the big fiasco of what was LAFC versus America, Brian. If, you know, to jump back just a couple months ago, a lot of people were asking even then, why wasn't VAR kind of implemented after a game like that? Where you had all the elements of like, yeah, VAR should definitely be in such a high kind of caliber matchup like this one, and in a competition that you state to be your Champions League, it's a little bit of a joke. It's a bit of a laughing stock. Like, you know, it's just like you aim to be like these big European sides where you want to say, you want to call your competition the Champions League of your region, and yet you're not inputting everything that you can to make sure that it's a fair and just game. It brings to question, what is CONCACAF's real objective here?
No, I agree. Like, in this day and age, using modern technology should be, you know, standard. And you know, like we were saying, like, to step, like, it's one thing to kind of like trip over a player, but just blatantly step on one. I don't know how that you can get away. You can't even get away with that in other sports. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, no. Like, in, it's like we're saying, it's like, this is supposed to be the prestige of club competition in the region. You look at, you know, all over the world, you know, you want to show your best. And this was anything but the best. It was a lot of guesswork by the officials and missing really, really dangerous play. And we saw a dangerous play. The player broke his leg and it was really ugly. And that's what happens when you let players go on 60, 70 minutes with warnings. It's like, yeah, hey man, you gotta send people off if it's getting out of hand. Like, it just, you know. So it's like, you want to see VAR, you want to see the updated technology, because they could have been down to 9 men at one point in that game before the broken leg.
Seriously, and I think it's difficult to kind of really look and be as objective with this matchup in regards to what the game was played at, because sometimes you even question, was there a game to be played at the moment? Because it felt like America was just like, all right, we're going to try to play our football. And Olympia was like, all right, we're going to stop you at any cause and at any cause necessary, right? You saw the steps, you saw the hits, you saw the broken... AJ, you can correct me exactly what it is that Chucho Lopez got broken, but you know,
broken ankle.
You had that broken ankle injury right there. So it was just like, that was their plan, you know, at all cost, stop them, disrupt them. And unfortunately, it worked. You saw what happened to America. Granted, I think America could have done a little bit better on the pitch. But I think what we were talking, Brian, before we came on air, I think as a player, mentally, you look at what your other teammates are enduring, and you're seeing that the referee's not really backing you up. You're just kind of like, well, why am I going to put in my all if I'm just going to end up like on the ground and nothing's going to happen? And so I think that does play a mental aspect to the game. And maybe that's why we didn't see the best America side out there, because granted, talent-wise, we had more than enough to make sure that this game didn't even get close to a defeat. But I think it was the constant kind of uphill battle for Medica to try to get rid of that kind of negligence in the back of their head, saying, okay, I need to get and make this happen. But if I'm going to get constantly hurt, why am I going to put myself in that situation? And I'm sure it must have been a difficult thing for Solari to ask as well, because, you know, no manager wants to go out there and see their team get hit and hurt without having kind of, you know, some safety net. And if you know that the referees aren't providing it, then, you know, how can you go out there and tell your boys, like, hey, you know, you need to go out there and get the win at all costs. So it was a difficult one. It was a tricky one. But I think at the end of the day, America gets to hold on, rightfully so. But do you think that there could have been done something better in regards to our football aspect, Brian? Do you think America could have done something better?
No, I think he sent out a really talented squad, and the chemistry is there. But it's very much like you said, when there's a disruption in you know, officiating. And I also want to say, if there's an America player that goes out and elbows somebody, he needs to be, you know, punished also. This isn't just a one-sided thing, but it's like very, very on-the-line tackles over and over and over again. I think they were just kind of like, we got what we needed. Just get me out of here. That's the feeling you get out of a game like that. That's not how it should be. Like we said, the prestige of club competition in the region, and for teams, you know, that are trying to beat these Mexican teams, they should do more than that. You got to go toe to toe, and it's not just a physical play, and that should be rewarded. I mean, if you trust your talent, you got to go head to head with the Mexican clubs and the MLS clubs that are, you know, that are in, you know, playing well. So it's like, you're rewarding something that's not even consistent in the rest of the game. That was, you know, so, but in terms of America, I wouldn't have changed anything. It's just the mental game. It's like they didn't want to be there once things got really out of hand.
Yeah, no. And I think you just saw it kind of all over the pitch, manifest that to every player, from the goalkeeper all the way to the forward. Like, every player had something in their head of like, This just, like you just mentioned, you know, we have what we need. Let's just kind of bear with it and let's get out of here once the final whistle goes. And I mean, it's quite unfortunate that we have to advance in the way that we do, right? Because we are Club America, and there's always kind of this demand for us to win every single game, to score as much of goals as we can. And I know that everyone was, and it didn't help that, you know, our opponent was the following couple of days was going to be Cruz Azul, and they wiped the floor out with their opponent, right? But if you look at those two games, they're two completely games, at least in regards to the rival, you know, I didn't think that Cruz Azul players were being hunted down for. Yeah. So it's a different spectrum. I know, I get it. And it's sometimes comparing, you know, apples to oranges here, but I think that, you know, it is frustrating that America advances the way that they did. But at the end of the day, I mean, you got to give props and merits to the team for getting the job done in Honduras, and then coming back home to the Estadio Azteca and you know, and enduring the storm that was all these kind of hits and elbows from Olympias. But I mean, if you had to give it a grade, AJ, what would you give America in this round of 16?
C minus.
Okay. Brian?
I would say a B minus, just because the road game was, they were pretty dominant. And again, the home team scoring looked a bit offside. So it's like, probably should have been 2-0, but whatever, they got the 2-1. The only reason why I say that, and also I wanted to kind of put in something what you said, you know, there's this debate of, you know, well, Mexican teams are in form, but look at this schedule, three games in like a lot of these times, 8 days, and you got a big time rival coming up on Saturday. It's like, you have to, it's more than just form, you know? And then like we were saying with the opponents, it's like, I'm not going to criticize this game, the 1-0 loss so much because of how the game went, because if you go over to Portland and you beat them in a confident, you know, manner, I'm not going to look back at that game at all. You know, getting, you know, away with, you know, the road goals and in such a crazy game, I'm not going to look back on it, you know, especially in this time of year where you got all these important games in league also.
Yeah, you're right. And we did mention it, AJ, this was going to be the crunch time for America once CONCACAF Champions kind of rolled around. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that play out. We've seen, you know, a span of, let's see, we played Olympia on Wednesday, then we had to go up against Tigres, then we had to play Olympia again, then Cruz Azul, all in the span of like 2 weeks. But that's not enough rest, because they're high intensity games. We, you know, game after game after game. And we maybe saw a little bit of that on Saturday. We'll talk a little bit about that when we play, recap the Cruz Azul game. But Chris saying, how do you play better when you're just getting hit all game long? It's tough, man. It's hard to critique America in this game. Yeah. Kind of going with what you were saying, Brian, definitely. Jerry saying, ankle sprains hurt like hell. I can't even imagine how a broken ankle with a bone sticking out feels yeah. like. And I think you're onto something, Jerry. Yeah. I mean, you saw it. I mean, the discomfort on Chucho was immense. I mean, man was almost in tears, you know? So,
I mean, it's a haunting injury in any sport. That is the number one haunting injury that messes up teams. If you see a player go, like, there's head injuries, there's arm injuries, but that type of injury where you're just like, the player is just...
It just messes with them mentally, because like you mentioned, it feels like it was like an endurance around that entire thing. It felt like Rocky in that first week taking all those hits. But in this case, I make or doing none of the hits back at their opponents. They just right. are saying, how long can we truly endure this before something serious like that's going to happen? And then result the Chucho Lopez. And yeah. I think at that point, every Omega was like, I don't want to go on a one-on-one or try to fly past like a bunch of defenders, because they were going to just get taken out. They like the Naveda. Tackle, for example, when he was about to break through, he just got slide tackle immediately. Thankfully, he was fine at the end, but that just showed like the guys were just like, I could have seriously almost gotten injured just that way, and yeah. it's scary.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And also, I mean, it's not that we like to condone violence here by any means necessary, but I'd like the heart of Naveda going in for some of the challenges that he did, saying, you know what, I'm not backing down. Shows that he's still very raw, and then that he still needs to kind of, you know, have a little bit more experience. But the fact that he was playing with passion and heart and saying, you know what, I'm not going to let my team get bullied around, also, you know, said something, you know, definitely did say something.
That was in the back of my mind, too. It's like, at what point do players get so unbelievably upset with what they're seeing that they lash out? But they pretty much were composed. But like we saw, Roger had one kind of late tackle, yellow right away. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's why they held back, because they just wanted that game over.
Yeah, definitely. And I think they knew that, you know, if they were the ones to lose their head, then they could have potentially have lost their place into the next round. So,
yeah, which is, yeah, exactly.
Which I think they've learned a lot from that LAFC match, if we're being honest.
Haunting. You know? Haunting.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, Cáceres, you got to learn how to pass to your own team. And she still doesn't learn.
To the best player. Like, not even just some random player. God. Just to the best player.
We let Vela score at the same place at the exact area twice in the span of a minute. And I'm just like blinking my eyes. I'm like, what just happened? I thought the score was just 1-1 was a replay. But no, that was the second goal. And I'm just like, dear God.
Well, I know their fans were enjoying the tackles on America. So, maybe will there be another game where we can meet again? And I would really, really enjoy being there in person.
So. Yeah, oh yeah, trust me, I'm sure we'll get that. Chris saying Naveda, reminds me of a lot of Germán Villa, and yes, that was a very good callback right there. He definitely did. But yeah, I mean, overall, America advances to the next round. We know our opponent now. It's going to be Portland Timbers. That's going to be next week. We're going to be previewing that game as well. So make sure you guys tune in next week. We'll be previewing the game of the octavos de final. Always remember quarterfinals. There you go. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard to distinguish Spanish from English in my head. But yeah, it's an interesting rival. I will say probably one of the best MLS sides in the past couple of years. And I mean, we'll have to wait to see. I'll definitely be keeping an eye on them this weekend to see how they're doing. I mean, you know, their whole MLS season's back, and I think they're going to be coming in itching with some form. And a former player will be coming to play against us, or we'll be going to see him first, because we're going over to Portland in Cristian Paredes, right?
Yep. Uh-huh. Wait. Yep.
I remember his name. There you go. But we'll be going up against him. I mean, Portland fans say that he's been doing good ever since his arrival. That means it just goes to show. Sometimes if you can't make it with America, then I guess any other team is a lot easier. So, But there you guys have it. And then, like I said, we'll have you guys covered with all of that. So make sure you guys follow us over on the UI podcast at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Keep you guys up to date with all things Las Águilas del América and CONCA Champions League. All right, gentlemen, moving on from Wednesday's match onto Saturday's. It's the game that we all talked about and we all hyped up. We said, forget your Bayerns and your PSG matches. Tune in to América versus Cruz Azul because this is the game of the decade. And yet again, we seem to be liars, AJ, on this podcast because whenever we hype up a game, it always seems to turn out on the opposite spectrum of what we say. So instead of getting this kind of thriller matchup where we got this like 3-3, 2-3 match or like just an abundance of goals, we got two that potentially shouldn't even counted. So we should have ended up with a 0-0 draw. So kind of just overall feelings of how that game went. And maybe we'll dive into a little bit afterwards, the tactics inside of it, because I think it was a very interesting game in regards to that aspect. But you called it, AJ, a little bit of a snooze fest.
Yeah, I just felt like both of these teams just respected each other. I just felt like they acted like this was a game that was nothing at stake, because when you think about it as well, they're pretty much separate from the rest of the league at this point. No one's gonna reach them. Cruzeiro could have gotten another victory and make history by breaking Leon's record for the most wins consecutively, or so I can break the record for having the most points in América manager, which I think he did. He surpassed Piojo. All in all, I just wish there was gonna be more excitement into this match. Saying it's a Clásico joven, two of the best informed teams right now in the Liga MX, and you get to see the best of the best clash out each other that Saturday night. And what we got at the very end, like you mentioned, was a snooze fest. Just 1-1 goals I feel like shouldn't happen that turn into penalties. But all in all, we just expected more from these two teams, especially with the rosters that they put out on the field.
No, definitely. And then, you know, I think that we talked about it with our guest, Oscar, and I think he put it perfectly. He said, he wouldn't be surprised if both teams kind of, don't play out for these points, that they don't, no one wants to lose anything. So he could definitely see a draw. I mean, Brian, I don't know. What was your take on this game? I think everyone was overselling that, even the tabloids in Mexico, but we already know how they are over there, calling this game to be the game to watch. Turned out to be that maybe it wasn't exactly that.
Yeah, well, you have, Cruz Azul, who was in a really good form, who were firing it on cylinders, came off the CONCA Champions, blowing the other team out of the water. You got America, who's starting to find their presence. So it on paper added up like this is going to be, like a Clash of a Titans moment. But I think it goes back to, the amount of games these teams have been playing, their standings. That's the feel of the game, where it was a little bit like a step slow. And like you said, like even what was scored didn't even feel correct, I wanted, one of those 2-2 back and forth games, but I kind of expected more of a tame game in the back of my head. And that's kind of what we got, unfortunately.
No, yeah, definitely. AJ, we were all expecting the HBO premiere of Godzilla versus King Kong, but what we actually got was the swap meet version of this movie, because it didn't live up to the hype of it whatsoever. What did you think America did wrong in this game? If and then we'll talk about what they did right, because I think there is some pretty good things to highlight here.
I think it's just some of the chances that they had. I just feel like they weren't being smart about it. There was moments in time where I feel like America should have had a chance if they just took a tiny bit of time to think about, should I pass this, should I cross, or should I shoot? It would have been perfect. Like Mario Lainez, I don't understand how he did not pass that ball out to Venus, which could have given us the second goal and potentially the game-winning goal of the match. But instead, he just let that ball fly completely out. And you could hear even the players, I don't even know who it was, or maybe it was Venus, just yelling out loud. And Lainez was just like having his hands over his head. I don't know if he was thinking how I missed, or he's like, why did I not pass that? Like, what was I thinking? Just, it was ridiculous. And the penalty, just, I don't know, man. I don't know how that was a penalty, but whatever. But just all in all, just America definitely could have taken the game to Cruz Azul, because if not mistaken, that first half, they were the ones that were hungry. They looked superior. But then that second half, they just turned off completely, which I'm afraid to say again, it's a tale of two halves kind of situation for America. We definitely don't want to be reliving that like we did a lot last season with Piojo.
No, yeah, I agree with you. Chris saying we got the 1-2-3 movies version of this game, which I think is definitely true. And it's funny enough, right? Mauro Lines came into this game kind of being hailed for his good work in the past couple of games, I think, especially against Tigres. He did a very good job. And, you know, he's starting to come into this and maybe cementing himself as the left winger that America needs under Solari. And then for him to kind of come into this game and do what he did, I think was a little bit of a, you know, disheartening moment. But I wasn't surprised that he took the chance, because if you guys go, and I'll take you back all the way to his first game in an America jersey against San Luis, he went on a wild run and even finished the chance off that eventually led to his first goal in America jersey. So I wasn't surprised that he had kind of that confidence in himself to finish the chance. But it just goes to show that sometimes maybe you need to be a little bit more calm, cool, and collected in front of goal. And he's definitely lacking that. So, like you said, AJ, definitely a really good opportunity to pass to Viñas. Doesn't do so. And because of that, I think just minutes later, I think Cruz Azul gets a chance and you know, gets the penalty. Which, again, AJ, I don't know if, you know, and the rules are, I've seen people say yes, and then I've seen people on Twitter argue why it is. I've seen people on Twitter argue why it's not, and they have everyone has a different graphic as to why it is or why it isn't. It completely amazes me. But yeah. It's just it seems like we were just left with a bitter taste at the end of the day. What did you think America lacked, Brian?
Just kind of like that finishing, that like last touch finish, like sharpness overall. Kind of like I said, like it just felt a step back. Everything just felt a little bit of a step back. They did good. Some things good, but just, I don't know. It just felt like a team was just not 100% into it. The way that we've been used to seeing them the past few weeks.
Definitely. Now, let's talk a little bit more about what America did right, because I think that there was a lot of stuff that America did right, because you don't just keep off a Cruz Azul firing on all cylinders almost to, you know, at bay if it wasn't for that penalty. Luis is coming out and saying, I'm Team Viñas all the way, but he's running out of opportunities. Sad crying emoji face. But I'll say one thing, Luis. I think Viñas did actually well in this game. I think he did his job, you know, rightfully so. I don't think he actually had the chances. I don't think he was having much of the balls being sent his way. I don't think it's, you know, knocking it on him. I just think that, you know, you got to give merit to Cruz Azul as well. I don't think, you know, they just, you know, they were just going to let us be as we always are. I think they sat back and they defended as well as they could. Obviously, they didn't have their star center back either. But I think they did well with what they had at the back. But rightfully so, I think how often did you hear Cabecita's name being called out during this game, right? So I think Solari did a very good job at keeping the lines tight, you know, keeping your formation well placed and not having players kind of veer off positions as sometimes we tend to do. And we are very organized. I think this is one of the most organized games that I've seen America play, especially in the back line. I don't remember Luis Fuentes doing so many overlapping runs. George Sanchez does have a little bit more freedom every time he goes forward, but I just think because he does have the pace to get back. But I think as far as the formation went and how, you know, tight we wanted to keep the midfield, I think Solari could be comfortable with that, because you even saw Fidalgo kind of, you know, be more committed to the defensive aspect of it than actually being that creative player that we know he can be. So. I mean, I don't know, Brian. What do you think? What do you think America did very well in this game?
No, I think you're right. I mean, there was organization. That's why, you know, they were able to handle themselves against a team that's with so much firepower. Individually, there were you know, great plays, and I think I even tweeted Fidalgo, his change of pace and direction. He's been getting better and better and better, and I've been really enjoying seeing that. But he's also playing smarter, and like you said, like it showed on that game. But yeah, just especially defensively against a team that is really, you know, pretty scary up front. They held their own, and it was, you know, a success on that front.
Definitely. AJ, anything to add on to that?
Nah, I think Bryant hit the nail on the coffin pretty well.
No, yeah, I think so, right? I think a lot of people did praise that. I think, you know, you have to go back and rewatch it, but I think that I don't know if there was a clear favorite at the end of 90 minutes. But I will say this. I think that both teams, respectively, coming off, you know, a midweek game, I'm not, you know, Cruz Azul, I think, had less of their starters in that one than America did. But I think for what America's sake, you know, we had one less game to rest, especially after everyone was battered and bruised.
Yeah, really.
To be able to come back and you know, look very good against Cruz Azul the way that we did, because I know a lot of people were a little bit worried, like, you know, Cruz Azul just came off winning 8-0 and we couldn't even beat our CONCACAF rival at home. What is this going to paint for us on Saturday? I think, like you mentioned, AJ, one or two different passes or one or two different chances that we take, and this game's a completely different story. But I don't think that this is anything to kind of worry about. I think we, you know, they're the two juggernauts of Liga MX at the moment. And, you know, with a lot of respect, and literally no one's going to take second place away from us. Like, that is ours. No one's going to come in and take it at all. So we finish in second place. I don't think that's going to be anything to worry about either. But I think in the back of our heads, we know that if this Atlas game didn't happen, we know who would be sitting at the top of the table right now. And so I think that the players have that mentally in them, saying that, look, we take pride into what we've done this whole season. And even though what happened on the table happened on the table, we know that, you know, what we have done on the pitch has reflected on what we continue to do week in and week out. And so we'll see what happens. Obviously, two big games coming up. We have Toluca, and then we have the Clásico Capitolino to close things off. That's going to be an interesting one. But, I mean, what would you give this game, Brian, if you had to grade it?
Maybe like a C+, just because just the not necessarily, you know, some aspects of the game, I think more just mentally, like the mental game, and the intensity wasn't quite there. And then just the different balance of the organization in the back, and, you know, just not being as, you know, efficient up front.
Yeah. Yeah, AJ?
I'd give this a C.
Give this a C. I agree with you, because I think this is a very much C game from America. But again, look, I have no... It wouldn't be surprising if we saw an America Cruz Azul final again. You know?
Possible.
And that's going to be a whole different story, you know? I think that's when America is going to, you know, unleash a little bit more. And we'll talk about that, because it looks like, you know, Liguilla, and if we get past Portland, it's just going to be mounting on top of that, you know, Liguilla, CONCACAF Champions League, Liguilla, CONCACAF. I mean, how is that going to look like? I don't know. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But, I mean, that's the reality of it, right? I mean, you want to be the best, and you want to play in all these competitions. You got to bear with it. You got to bear with it. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Actually, Chris is saying we get our bye week after the Pumas game. Interesting. Forgot about that.
Much needed.
Yeah. Yeah, very much needed. I'm trying to read more of the comments here, seeing what you guys are saying. But overall, it looks like everyone's kind of on the same picture on this one. And a lot of people are asking for Roger to leave, and then we buy someone from Boca Juniors. I don't think they would ever go for that deal. I think he's too expensive, and America's not willing to splash the cash like that right now. But yeah, overall, America at one point, nothing really too crazy to kind of talk about. I think the game was, you know, a bit of a snooze fest for neutrals. But from a fan perspective, I think that you learn a lot from your team in this one. And interesting not to see Bruno Valdez in this game. I thought that, you know, he was getting back into rhythm of things, but I think Solari didn't want to risk him, knowing that this game could be a little bit more high intensity, especially with a striker like Cabecita. And I think Cáceres did very well. You know, this is a kid that's been under kind of scrutiny for a couple of his mistakes, but he's been looking good ever since his return back to the starting 11. All right, gentlemen, let's move on into the next segment here. But before we do, I do want to remind everyone that today's episode is brought to you by Foot Cult. And if you guys haven't done so already, make sure you guys go to footcult.com. They got some amazing products. You guys can get that training top that AJ and I are wearing, the Eagle Eye Podcast one, or you can get the polo that Brian is wearing, the Eagles from Mars polo. Look at that beauty of a polo shirt. You guys can take that to the office. You guys can take that anywhere that you guys want, and everyone's going to be complimenting you guys. I promise you that, guaranteed. But you guys, if don't take our word for it, you guys can go check out the site. They got some amazing stuff, and you guys just dropped some shorts that just, my goodness. You know, I don't know if the pre-sale link is up there just yet, but you guys just dropped some shorts that are just looking completely fire. And before that, I know you guys just closed your pre-sale for those, I mean, those Jorge Campos shorts. I mean, come on. Who
people love them.
My goodness. I'm like, come on. AJ, yeah. You copped yours. You know,
I copped mine as soon as I saw them. Like, I need them. Besides, I'm kind of shortage on shorts, no pun intended. So I'm like, I need those immediately.
Yeah,
definitely. Definitely. So you guys can check out the site, and they have some amazing stuff for you guys. And you guys can use the discount code EEP at checkout to get 10% off. 10% off again. That is discount code EEP at checkout to get 10% off. And again, some amazing stuff coming your guys' way in regards to Foot Cult. So make sure you guys follow them on Instagram and Twitter as well. So they're changing the game. We love the fact that we're changing, that we're being there whilst they are doing it. Chris saying Ivan needs to make a chore shorts. Yes, definitely. I don't know what that would look like.
Just be patient.
Just be patient. Yes. Be patient, my friends. Be patient. All right, then let's talk a little bit about Coapa news. AJ, do you have any updates for us? I know that Benedetti is back with the side. Is Cordoba going to be ready for us? Or any updates in general?
I mean, to start with, it would start off with injuries. I'm pretty sure Henry Barth, I think he wasn't even featured against Cruz Azul. So I think I'm still questioned to what the injury even is. I think they never actually disclosed it when he was with the Mexico national. They just say he was sat out. Why? I have no clue. Goran, on the other hand, I think he, if I'm not mistaken, he is trained individually. But I feel like you should probably see him back against the Luca. And we'll see him most definitely for a CONCACAF. For the injury, yeah, Chucho Lopez, he suffered a fractured fibula, broken ankle, essentially. He'll be out for at least 3 to 4 months. But I think 4 months is going to be the max he's going to be out for. And to Justin Arboleda, I do not understand how this man is going on to complain with the referee to say, like, I didn't mean to do that. What do you mean? It got to the point that even Ochoa was going to butt heads with them, saying that, like, you mean to tell me that's you did not do that on purpose? Okay. But and then for news with the sub-18 for the Mexico national team, three players from the Fuerza Vasquez did get called up. Those players are Esteban Lozano, Sergio de Los Rios, and the other player that got called up, I'm trying to just look at it, Encarnet Campos. So three players that did get called up, which is, I'm surprised to see that Luis Gutierrez from the sub-20 is not on there, because this kid's on fire. Fuerza Vasquez, I'm mistaken, and I think in the first game of the season he got a hat trick, and I think from the game against Cruz Azul he can secure a hat trick. Could we ever see him in the bench or America at some point, potentially next season? Who knows? That'd be pretty exciting. Oh, okay.
No, well, we're not gonna see him. I'm sorry, we got too many strikers and there's no room for him.
He's a midfielder. He definitely could have taken Ale Medina's spot, and look how that turned out. But okay,
that's true. That is true. All right. Well, that's your updates from Coapa, straight from AJ and his. Looks like you're not focused right now, AJ.
Oh, come on.
Tell your camera to focus a little bit. yeah, all right. Let's move on into kind of the last segment here. Let's talk America versus Toluca. Toluca versus America. Estadio Nemesio Díaz, a stadium where, let's face it, it hasn't been the most friendliest of places for us to visit in recent history. We always seem to find a way to struggle in that. But no scorching 12 p.m. sun, Brian, for America in this one. It's going to be at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, which is going to mean 9 p.m. for our friends over at, Central Time. No, excuse me, 3 p.m. Standard Pacific Standard Time, 3:30 p.m., 5:30 p.m. Central, and then 6:30 p.m. Eastern. I was thinking about the Pumas game. That one's going to be at 7, which is an odd time for a Sunday kickoff. But yeah. Interesting. Like I said, no sun. That's always a positive thing because I feel like America tends to struggle with that since we're so used to playing at night. Yeah. But talk to me a little bit about this game on Sunday. You know, coming into this one, I mean, Toluca sitting up in 8th place. I mean, you know, they're trying to secure their spot into the Liguilla, and they know how important a win could definitely mean for them. They're at home, and yet America still wants to continue that good run of form. AJ, I know, maybe jumped the gun a little bit. Solari is still yet to surpass Piojo's record of, you know, the most manager with the most points. I think Piojo had 37, and you know, if America does win, you know, they'd be able to get to 38 here. So thoughts about Sunday?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a complicated match just because Toluca's on, they're in eighth, but they're also in very kind of off form, no wins since the beginning of March. Like you said, it's not at high noon, which is a plus, but I still expect a complicated game. I think this will be a hard-fought match by Toluca because they're searching for points. And America can't be sleeping or have the energy that they had last weekend because they could get punched, you know, in the mouth on a corner or on a counter, rather. So I expect it to be complicated, just hoping that, you know, the mindset's there because, you know, they are sitting very, very comfortable in second. But a good result would really help them moving forward also. So hopefully that they're 100% focused on this more so than the previous match.
Definitely. And if we were playing against Olympia, we'd definitely get punched in the mouth for reals, you know?
Yeah.
So that's something to keep in. But you're right though. I think you mentioned something very, that I didn't want to touch upon, the mental aspect of this, knowing that you sit comfortably in second spot. And I mentioned no one's taking that away from you by any means necessary. You've got that. You could lose these next two games and nothing's going to change in the position. But I think Solari wants to implement a mentality in this team that, hey, why not? Why don't we get the first place? You know, who knows if Cruz Azul slips? You know, all we need for them is to draw. And then we're kind of in the driver's seat at that point, you know? And then you want this team to continue that good run of form because then, you know, we know what this league is all about when it comes to playoffs. Yep. Momentum, right? Yep. Who's carrying it? Who has it? Who's coming into the Liguilla with it? Exactly. Obviously, it's a little harder now because you get that bye week because, you know, these teams are going to be battling it out for their, you know, ticket into the Liguilla, into the playoffs. And I know a lot of people question as to whether or not that kind of hindered America whenever we had to play Chivas last season. But I think Solari's going to have them well maintained throughout that bye weekend. I mean, you're going to see it hopefully on Sunday that the mentality is going to be the same. Go out there, play your game, secure all 3 points. You know, you got a chance to go down in the history book, so why not take the glory of it, you know? And you mentioned that Toluca is not an easy rival. I mean, sure, you know, they hang on to whatever Sambuesa can make happen for them, but it's, you know, he's still a dangerous player, and I know they have plenty others as well. AJ, what are you looking forward to into this game on Sunday?
I'm just looking for America to just bounce back from that boring game that was against Cruz Azul, and, you know, make history in this one. Solari, if he wins in this match, he breaks Piojo's record for the most points by a manager. And I make a shirt, if I'm not mistaken. Piojo has 37. We currently have 35 points. And that's actually in his first season as well, which would be amazing to see. But for this America side, just go guns a-blazing. Take the game right to Toluca. But as Brian did say, Toluca is not an easy team. And I remember from past seasons, Toluca always been a team that likes to score early on. If whenever they happen to just score early on into the game, they got the momentum to them. Toluca, despite them not playing well this season, they do have one player that's trying to take them to just to secure the spot in the repechaje and get into the Liguilla, and that's Alexis Canelo. He's got 10 goals this season. Despite his team being at 8, he's doing everything that he possibly can to backpack this team and take them to victory. And that's one player I would look out for, Alexis Canelo. And I feel like if America's defense can definitely secure him from there on, the midfielders and the forwards up front, they know what they got to do for America, and that's to score goals, free plays, and get the 3 points that's necessary in order for a makeup to keep, to who knows, they could battle off for first place. They definitely still have a chance. Gorsu's just got to slip up. If not, make history. It's good. And it makes Ole look really good as well to see what he has done with essentially a squad that mostly still consists of BLS players and changed them around completely.
Definitely. And it's an interesting thing to note that this is still Solari's first season. And you kind of forget where the team is at the moment. Sometimes you kind of, well, at least for me personally, I don't really look much at the table. I'm just kind of focused on what the team is doing out on the pitch. And yet you still see that there's things to work on. But Brian, the results have been there, even though they haven't been pretty. So that he's sitting at a very comfortable spot in a place where maybe not a lot of people expected him to be at.
No, for sure. I mean, you can see it that. When they are clicking, there's a different feel to the team. I would hope that as we get to more important, playoff games and, hopefully, again, CONCA Champions, more important games there, you start to see that that identity that we've been talking about for so long really click, where it's more than just let's get to a spot where we feel good, and it's now let's implement everything that we want to do and really just show up the opponent. And that's the goal. And I think they can do that. Like I said, I think we're going to see that build a little bit still. But I think it's in there. I think the team is buying into what Solari is selling, and they're trusting him, and that's all you can ask for. And like we're saying, this is close to history as it is. Let's see when they're ready to turn that next gear. Is it there? And I think it could be. I think it could be.
It definitely can be. And then question is, will we see this team go for it? I think that's the real question we're going to get answered on Sunday. Let's talk about starting 11 and kind of predict it. I know that Christian's usually the one to do this, and I'm going to be as bold to be the one to make it today. But I'm going to go with Ochoa and Net. I'm going to go Jorge Sanchez on the right, Luis Fuentes on the left, in the center back partnership. I think we're going to see the dynamic duo of Bruno Valdez and Emmanuel Aguilera. And then we're going to see in the midfield Richard Sanchez with Pedro Aquino, which I think is starting to flourish and look even more of a promising midfield right there. At CAM, we're going to see Fidalgo. And then up top, we are going to see Lainez on the left, Cordoba on the right, and if a miracle happens and Henry's good to go, we see Henry start. But if not, you'll see Roger Martinez start in that center attacking position. What do you guys think? You guys like the starting 11?
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see that. But I could see Bruno still not making this game still. Mm-hmm. That's a possibility in my mind, that he's just really just waiting for the right time to make sure he's fully ready to go. But other than that, yeah, the lineup sounds good. That's definitely enough talent and hopefully enough cohesion to make a statement on the road.
Yeah, AJ?
I agree with the surprise you put Cordova on the wing, so you better not start complaining if this man does not come up to perform, which I'm sure he will. But if my timeline is not consistent of you complaining, then something's wrong. So
I've calmed down on the Cordova stuff. Okay? But I think it's because of his own merit as well. I think we've seen a much better Cordoba. Unfortunately, he hasn't been playing because of the injuries. And I mean, you saw the big step he got midweek. And so that kind of kept him out of the game against Cruzul, which I think we desperately needed him. I think when him and Fidalgo start, playing 1-2 balls with each other,
you see
something spark right there with America.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully we see that on Sunday against Toluca. But yeah, I've calmed down a little bit because Cordoba's doing all right. But here comes around,
and we're seeing that connect with the midfielders, Richard Aquino, where he has more confidence to do his job, where it's not a lot of let me drop, and then have to run up and down the field the whole game. When he is feeling comfortable in contributing the attack, I think that's when you see the best of Cordoba.
Definitely. Talk about someone that was dropping back and defending. I've never seen Roger track back before until Sunday against Cruz Azul. Never knew he had that capacity in him. Yeah. Chris saying, you need Bruno to stop Canelo, in my opinion. Hopefully George doesn't continue his bad momentum and get burnt by some Wessa. I mean, if he does, I hope he doesn't get burnt by him. No, that's a huge sign of concern. He should definitely have some Wessa in his pocket. But look, you know, I see Bruno in this because of the set pieces. We know some Wessa and his assists. So Chris maybe, you know, pointing out some good stuff right there. But I think Brian, you're right. You know, we know Solari. He's the type of manager says, look, I'm not going to risk a player for no reason whatsoever, unless it's like a final or something. Right. So I think he's taking well care of his team. And I think you've seen it. I mean, Brian, how many times have we come on this podcast years past and said, you know, we're cursed with injuries, and how many times can we not have a full squad and this and that? And still we're lingering with these issues still, but it's not like last season when we had four or five players out.
Yeah, way less COVID, so that's been helping.
yeah, that definitely has been. Yeah. Which, by the way, now you mentioned that, I know Ochoa was talking to the press about this. The possibility of players getting vaccinated here in the States, I think that's something that they're going to be talking about. You know, the team with the league and all that stuff. And so hopefully, you know, that spells for a possible brighter future for the league and fans returning. Because a lot of people are questioning when fans are going to return to the Azteca, which will still be a while. People, things in Mexico City aren't looking as bright as other places in Mexico. And rightfully so. I mean, you know, it's the epicenter of Mexico. Everything comes in and out of there. But yeah, I thought I'd mention that. But yeah, no, I mean, we have a much vast squad now that you know, we don't have to linger with so much of these injuries and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And hey, we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, this Toluca matchup, it paints for an interesting game because, like I mentioned, the Estadio Nemesio Díaz has never been an easy place for us to go to. I mean, I remember waking up Sunday mornings and then, you know, getting ready at 10 o'clock and then seeing like, oh man, you know, what is this game going to entail? And it was back when America, you know, only had Ochoa and Salvador Cabañas to pick him up from the drought, and maybe a Angel Reyna whenever he felt like it. And so those games were never an easy one. But we'll see what this one comes up to. I mean, you're right. You know, everything paints for America to come into this one and dominate. But I think that's the one thing we need to see, that mentality still be there, right? You can sit comfortably and lose these two next games and saying, look, we're just going to play it easy, not try to risk anything. But if you go out there, you demonstrate it. AJ, like you mentioned, you take the game to Toluca. And you know, an early goal can open the floodgates here, as we know. I just want to see an America side that can potentially score more than two goals. And I say it again, and I've only seen it twice this season, against Chivas and against Tigres. And funny enough, they were both on the road. So if you get to do this again against Toluca, we'll you know, see what you can manage on this one. But well, we'll see. But anything else to add on into regards to what we want to see out on the pitch? Or maybe a player that you guys want to see maybe step it up a little bit?
I'd say just as a joke, and I think I said it before the podcast, we're going to see Brian's lookalike on the pitch. The Lady X is going to get the game-winning assist or a game-winning goal, Ale Medina. I want to see what he can do because so many people talked about, can we bring to America? Ends up being alone. They're like, okay, let's see. We see him in preseason. They're like, why we brought him in the first place? Who knows? Maybe it's his time to shine. He did get, what, 2 minutes, I think, against Cruz Azul. I think it was or something towards the very end. So who knows? Maybe I just like to see him for the joke. See what he can actually do against his former team.
Okay. Interesting. Brian?
Well, if Roger plays, I want to see. I don't know. It's just, to me, he's so hit or miss. If he plays, then I want to see him on fire. I want to see him really taking, you know, just more smart plays overall. Because we know he's got the balance. He's got pretty good dribbling. But, yeah, I want him to feel confident and maybe hit the back of the net.
Yeah, no, definitely. EA, by the way, how is Roger Martinez still a 3-star skill move player? Come on, bump him up to 4. All right. I'm tired of emailing you guys his highlight reels.
Why not 5? Make it like Mickey Arroyo. I think I had a 5-star skill and a 4-star weak foot. Why not that?
Dude, definitely be OP in Ultimate Team.
That'll be the reason scouts pick him up from Europe, because he has a good Ultimate Team card. Y'all sign him up. See what he can do in real life.
It matters, EA. I mean, come on, help us out.
Yeah, these things matter. Look,
I mean, hey, Brian got the report about Checo Rodriguez's ring. He's like, see me in my office, EA Sports.
Oh, see me, oh my lord! I don't
know what. You know, the only reason he got that high is because of that partnership with EA Tigres had. That's the only reason he got.
That's both. True. Uh huh. Because I think they're one of the few teams, I can't remember if it's an EA, that actually have like their official names. I think the Estadio Azteca is one, I think, the Estadio Universitario, and I think the Estadio Olimpico for Pumas. I think like the only three teams in the league to have like their actual stadiums in game. So probably that's why.
Pumas not yet, but I know Tigres doesn't have theirs.
I could have sworn Pumas had one.
The generic looks just very close, that's all. The generic one looks very close to it. But yeah, look, you know, people saying, you know, George Sanchez needs to have a good game. You know, someone said it. I doubt Alan Medina plays, to be honest. But we'll see. We'll see. All right, gentlemen, this is the part, my favorite part of the episode here, where I ask whether or not, are we going to bet the house or are we betting the toilet, AJ, here? I want you guys' predictions for the game on Sunday. What are we betting, AJ?
No, it's bet the house. We're going for history right here. I did say bet the house last time, but we drew. Nothing happened.
We didn't lose the house.
No, stop. We didn't lose the house. Still here. So, yeah, bet the house against Toluca.
Bet the house against Toluca. All right, Brian, what are you saying?
I'm going to go. I think we're going to see a surprise. I think we're going to see an early goal for America. I think they're going to manage that for most of the game, but I think they're going to grab another one. So I think it'll be 2-0 America.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That a clean sheet is always my favorite thing to hear.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Definitely. Jacob saying America 3-1. We know he's going to be betting his cousins again, so we'll see how that happens. And I'm going to go with I'll go a little bit optimistic here. I'll go with a 2-0 as well, Brian.
I think you're going to say 4-1 like you usually do.
Oh, no. I said 5-0 for the Olympia game. Oh, Ivan, who usually is on the chat here, he messages me. He texts me. He's like, I thought you said 5-0, dude.
We were all clowns that night. Let's see. I think Dylan was the claw. I think he was the one that did say, I think it was like a draw or something. I can't remember what it was.
Well, if it was FIFA and they had more consistent refs,
I definitely see it. Someone said interesting, you know, they see that Fidalgo could score one and Roger scores two. Jacob,
well, that's one thing. That's my one criticism is his shooting has been
it's been
now his control, like I said, his change of direction has been really good, and you know, getting to find players, but he's got to hit one on target one of these days.
Definitely. Who knows? It might be Sunday.
Fidalgo?
Yeah, Fidalgo.
Next city.
Yeah.
I just can't believe how he missed that sitter against you. Not even a sitter, it was like an open shot because you knew damn well that Goku was like, I give up. He's like, take it. That's all for you. If Fidalgo somehow launched it off.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. Jerry saying, bet in the toilet, but America wins it 2-0.
Oh, 2-0, huh?
2-0.
Everyone's going for clean sheets. I didn't mention mine. I'm going 3-0, actually. We're going 3-0. Wow. Back to the old ways.
3-0, back to the old ways. All right, bold, very bold prediction here. Well, I mean, not the only one. Chris saying America 3-0 as well. Look, a Fidalgo goal is all we want by the end of the season, right? Let's just have it be that way. But things are looking promising for Fidalgo. A lot of heavy rumors saying that America is going to actually go for that buyout clause and actually have him stay. And he's a very smart kid. He said you sit down and listen to his interviews, he says all the right things. He's very well spoken, very well versed. Which is why I think a lot of the Americanismo is actually kind of, you know, falling for him. And then we already know what Christian thinks of him, right? He has a little shrine of him at work and everything. But yeah, no, that pretty much does it here. Anything else, gentlemen, you guys want to add on before we kind of wrap it up?
No, I just hope, you know, they're looking good, and then they're going to play a really, really important game against Portland, because that's not going to be easy either. So hoping that they go in healthy, come out healthy as much as possible, and let the games begin from there on out.
Yeah, it's crunch time. It continues to be crunch time for America. Although it feels nice to know that America is going to have that extra day of rest, especially after the kind of long week that we've just had. So it's nice to know that we play on Sunday. And, you know, We'll be back next week to talk about Portland. We'll talk about the Clásico Capitolino as well. So you guys don't want to miss that at all. We'll be back again Tuesdays at the usual time, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Brian, thank you so much for coming on, man. Always.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
AJ, as always, my friend, thank you. I know you're a busy man.
Yeah, just it's crunch time for me in college, actually. Just got assignments, papers, and exams like left and right, so... You're right. It's always good to have you. Just 1 hour to get riff from the real world and just talk everything to America. So
definitely. If you guys don't know, AJ's final exam is going to be 50 Pilates and 45. So we'll have to find a way to live stream that. Maybe we can get that going to see if AJ's going to be able to pull that off. Send him to the Olympics if he does. But again, thank you to everyone that came out here and talked all things America. Jerry, Jacob, Chris, Leo, all of you guys. Thank you so much. Again, means the world to us. We'll be back next week to talk things, all things Las Águilas in America. And AJ will be back this week as well to talk America Femenil. Finally, not a bad game against Monterrey. We'll talk about that throughout the week. All right, then. You guys have a wonderful time. We'll be back next week. Please be safe. Wear your masks. And as always, Arriba America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.